Today we're talking about Barry, a new HBO series we all really love.
Barry was created by Bill Hader and Silicon Valley's Alec Berg. Hader also plays the lead character, a hitman who learns his real passion is theater.
The show mixes violence and comedy and even sweetness as it explores Barry's new interest in acting and his desire for a new life. It also stars Stephen Root as Barry's handler and Henry Winkler as his pompous acting teacher. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. We're talking about the wonderful new show Barry on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, so don't go away.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover. While you're going about your day-to-day life, making dinner or getting kids to school, something's happening in the dark recesses of your house. Mold and mildew are growing, but you can fight back with CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover. It's tough on mold and mildew stains all around the house, and it works without bleach or harsh fumes. It even carries the EPA's Safer Choice seal. CLR Mold and Mildew Stain Remover, making the world a little cleaner.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And with us to talk about Barry is NPR's television critic Eric Deggans, coming to us from Florida, as always. Hi, Eric.
What up, what up, what up?
Always good to have Eric with us. So I want to actually start with Glenn. Glenn, you have seen the first four. There are eight episodes total. Eric and I have both seen the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn and Stephen, you guys have seen the first four. How are you feeling about it, Glenn?
Here's the thing. I am a simple man. I'm not complicated. You tell me, we're taking Bill Hader. I'm like, I'm listening. You say, we're adding Stephen Root, and I'm done. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? The torture porn? Fine. A sports documentary? I would watch that. This is great.
So when they add Henry Winkler, do you collapse into a puddle?
Well, you know, this is the thing. The casting on this show is just incredible. Yeah. That's who
Darcy Carden from The Good Place.
Darcy Carden from The Good Place. And it's just great. I mean, obviously, Bill Hader is doing something we probably haven't seen him do a lot. He did it in Skeleton Twins. He did it to a certain extent in Trainwreck. He's really pulled in, really tamped down. And I've seen some reviews that kind of knock the show for that. And it's so clear that this show is going someplace with mm-hmm. that. Even mm-hmm. in the very first episode, you can see that this is essentially not Breaking Bad, but mending good. He is becoming a better person and he's becoming more expressive. And you can see that arc happening in the first four episodes. I'm convinced that it continues. So he needs to start as closed in as he is
right.
to go someplace. And yeah. he does. I just really dig it. Henry Winkler, we'll talk about that. I love him. He's great in his part. He's kind of vibrating at a higher frequency than everybody else yeah. around him. He's being bigger.
He's Barry Zuckerkorn from Arrested Development.
He's Barry Zuckerkorn, exactly.
It's definitely the Henry Winkler performance is felt to me, I agree with you, Glenn, felt to me sometimes like it was on a slightly different show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ultimately, and this becomes clearer over the course of the whole arc of the show, that they are really walking an incredibly fine line
oh,
here.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic show, but it's also a funny show. But they're trying not to tip over into the kind of, it's not that the show's not bleak at times, because it definitely is, but they're trying not to tip over into this sort of nihilism of some anti-hero mm-hmm. drama. Now, this is a half-hour show, so it's not pitched like a drama. It's pitched more like a comedy, but it feels to me more like a drama with a good amount of comedy than the reverse. Stephen, how did you react to Barry?
I really loved it. And it's interesting you mentioned, you know, tipping toward nihilism. This show in many ways is about tipping away from nihilism. And I think that's so interesting. I you know, you mentioned Breaking Bad, Glenn. This, like that show, has a comedic actor, somebody who's known primarily as a comedic actor, in a more dramatic role. And as with Breaking Bad, those comedic chops enable him to be a little bit of a richer character and give you a little bit more, even though Bill Hader starts out especially very, very, very restrained.
Mm-hmm.
I think this show is wonderfully cast. My actually favorite of this kind of sprawling cast is Anthony Carrigan as a Chechen mobster named Noho Hank.
Oh, yeah.
So good. He's the smiling heavy. And,
yeah.
And there's this cheerfulness and this goofiness to him. Your eyes just dart to wherever he is on the
yeah.
screen. He's so good. I'm really into this show, and I even love, like, little details, like the Bill Hader character, Barry, is from Cleveland, and for a bunch of, especially the first episode, he's wearing this incredibly tacky Cruisin' with WMMS t-shirt. And WMMS is the classic rock station that I heard when I was a little kid, back when my family lived in Cleveland. There's just some very, you can just tell they get all the little details right on the show. I'm really digging it. I'm bummed that Glenn and I have only gotten to see four episodes because I can't wait to see where it goes.
And the back half of it is doing some different things than the front half. Because what I wrote about when I reviewed it is that it's kind of a process of closing in on him a little bit as he's trying to build this different life for himself. It's really pulling into, is that really possible?
Right.
Is that, like, what are the consequences of that? And it's almost like, if you thought about it in terms of Breaking Bad, it's almost like if Walt had gone the other way in Breaking Bad and he had been a drug dealer and then he wanted to be a chemistry teacher, what would be the consequences of just kind of rooting for that to happen?
Right.
And rooting for that to be, then everything is fine.
For him to get away with it.
Well, exactly. And, like, there would be a cost of doing that, right? He would have to cover his tracks in certain ways. And it's kind of like, I don't want to say too much about it, but the back half of it is kind of about that process of things sort of becoming more complicated for him as he's trying to want that new life for himself. Eric, you, like me, you were a big fan of this show, correct?
I take it as a point of personal pride that when I saw an ad for the show, they had a quote from my review right in the ad. And
nice.
I was like, wow, I finally made it. I finally raved enough about a show that they actually used a pull quote. Here's what I think. Like, first of all, and this is backed up by some things Bill Hader said when he talked to journalists in January. Part of the show is what happens when the thing that you're really good at is the thing that is killing your soul. And the thing that you find emotionally sustaining, you are terrible at.
Yeah.
So part of the comedy of this show is that he's reaching to try and do something that he really is not that good at. And he's trying to leave something that he is almost like a savant at.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about this character is that one reason why he's sympathetic is that he does seem to be like a bit of a savant. He is so good at killing people and so good at shooting and so good at setting up these things. And he believes he's just killing villains, you know, awful criminals. And he's been manipulated into becoming this hitman by a mentor that he trusts. But what we learn when the story turns and as the story advances, there are things about this guy that are deep, dark, and awful that make him good at what he does. And mm-hmm. he's not just, you know, Chauncey Gardner, happy-go-lucky, kind of bumbling his way through being a hitman. There are things about him that are dark, and when push comes to shove, he will make the kind of choices that are horrifying. This isn't, I mean, in a way it's about breaking good, but in a way it's about revealing, hey, you thought this guy was a nice, unassuming dude, but there are things about his personality that make him good at this job that you can't ignore. That's the obstacle to him creating this life away from being a hitman that he's trying to create.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really admire about it in the context of these anti-hero shows where it's always, this is a bad person or is he, right? And that's so often that's what the tension is. What I like about this show is they start off really saying to you, they give you a lot of kind of escape valves at the beginning, right? That he's a veteran, that he was really struggling when he got out of the service, that he was encouraged, like Eric was saying, to think of these people as villains. It gives you a lot of ways to kind of wiggle out of really thinking of him as a hitman,
right.
Really thinking of him as somebody who kills people.
Kind of the way Dexter
right.
gives you outs.
And then mm-hmm. gradually over time, like Eric's saying, mm-hmm. they kind of close those escape routes off to you and make you more and more face who this guy really is. And I very much admired that about it as an anti-hero show, because one of the things that makes me crazy is when anti-hero shows don't really reckon with the consequences
right.
of what these tortured, almost always men, what these tortured men are doing. And this one does.
Right. It's an interesting reverse direction for an anti-hero show to go, because, you know, the danger of a show like Breaking Bad is that the more badass he becomes,
right.
the more the audience starts to salivate for that.
Which happened.
And this is a show about a person becoming more vulnerable. That's not the typical arc, and that's a fascinating arc. There is a much simpler, broader show in an alternate universe that exists, a version of the show that doesn't have this nuance. And that, for example, what it's doing is it's mashing up the anti-hero show and the show about LA acting, of which there are both plenty.
Right.
And, like, what I like about the LA comedy stuff and the LA theater stuff is that it's not the same jokes we've seen again and again and again. It's something small, sharply observed, like the fact that all their monologues are from movies. That when he walks into this theater class, it's not Strindberg, it's True Romance.
Yeah.
It's a monologue from True Romance. Yeah. It's just so, and it doesn't push it. It's just really, really smart. Plenty of jokes, but not jokes we've seen before.
It also does a really nice job with that theater world of immersing him among a group of kind of wacky character types that you immediately feel welcomed by. You feel him being welcomed by this group, and you do understand. You don't necessarily at first understand the pull of acting to him, though they do a better job of kind of drawing that out. You totally feel the pull of this very kind, very welcoming community, and you understand why he or anyone would want to hang out with these folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing I also like about this is that he's a terrible actor because he's so closed off from his emotions. They show that, you know, they have this great scene. The acting teacher is asking him to visualize that he's in a grocery store, and he can't even do that. Like, he can't even access his emotions enough to imagine that he might be in a grocery store reaching for some food that he likes. And he said, well, soup. Okay, what kind of soup? I like broth. It's what? You know? So one of the things that's great about this is that, you know, you talk about the specificity. They even figured out why he's bad at acting. And he's not bad at acting because he's just generically a crappy actor. He's bad at acting because part of being good at acting is being able to access your emotions and use that when you're trying to pretend something is happening. And he's not able to do that. He's so closed off from his emotions, he can't access them, except for when they're really happening, when he's really feeling that way. And there are some scenes where he just happens to really be feeling a way that he has to be feeling to get through a scene. And they mistake that for acting. And that's another wonderful thing about this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, the casting directors are the real stars here in many ways. Because, I mean, we talked about Anthony Carrigan. We talked about everybody else. Glenn Fleshler as Goran, who comes from True Detective, who was a really creepy dude on True Detective, is here. And he's just having such fun. Cameron Britton, who was the serial killer on Mindhunter, who was so creeped everybody out, has like two lines. But those two lines are just perfectly delivered. And I was really surprised that in a show this filled with people like Stephen Root and Bill Hader, the time I laughed the hardest was in episode 4. And it came from somebody I hadn't seen before. That's Paula Newsome, who plays the detective investigating.
Yes,
okay.
She's terrific.
She's so good.
Terrific.
I'm going to spoil this joke because it's not the line. It's the delivery that does it, where she says, "Hey, Francie, this crazy man no Judd Hirsch." Something about the delivery.
It's really funny. It is
just
really
perfect.
Funny.
She is so good in this role. Yeah. And one of the things that I wrote in my review is, like, it's very common for a show that is mostly white people to have one woman of color who is sort of the wise person,
the
authority
teller.
Figure, the truth teller. It would be really easy for there not to be much to this character.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course of the entire thing, and I will say especially in those second 4 episodes, you get more and more of kind of who she is, and it becomes such an interesting and good character and such a likable performance. I thought she was fantastic in this. And that, like you said, she is standing up to, in a lot of her scenes, Henry Winkler is her scene partner. To me, she's really the bridge between the kind of pulled-in detective part of this story and that very out there kind of comedic Henry Winkler aspect of the story, because she has integrity and she's in control, but she's also kind of odd and she does
mistakes.
She makes mistakes. And so there's a lot of it that I just, I loved her in this.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, too, the thing that I loved about that character is that she gets to be sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, middle-aged black women on television don't get to date. They don't get to have sex. They don't get to have relationships. And, you know, I'm not going to be specific, but we see all of that with that character. And right away, that tells you as a viewer, wow, you know, they're treating this character differently and they're giving her a humanity that we don't see often in these types of characters on television. Mm-hmm.
I also really like Sarah Goldberg as the actress friend slash maybe, you know, slash love interest, which could so easily and seemed at first to feel like a manic pixie dream girl part, where her job is to go to the sad man and pull out his feelings. And they start to take that character in newer and more interesting directions over time. I think that's a really, really nice performance.
Right, because again, there is a version of this where she's just the self-involved actor.
Right.
And they really take the time to dig beyond that. It's great.
Well, and there's also a version of this in which she's never anything but completely kind of charmed and
right.
and delighted by him at all times. And they are realistic about the fact that if he is who they're saying he is, his instincts with someone that he was interested in would be kind of all jumbled up and broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're able to sort of play with that in a way that makes sense, so that you don't feel like he's, you know, all of a sudden this skilled romantic lead is coming out in this guy.
He's not a spy.
Right.
Right.
He's an assassin.
Yeah.
And Hader has described it famously as, what if Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver met the guys from Waiting for Guffman? And that's kind of, that's a large chasm to straddle.
Yeah.
But I think it's doing it really well.
Yeah. I think they got there.
If he met them and didn't kill them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, true. All right. Well, we want to know what you think about Barry. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. You can follow Eric on Twitter at Deggins. Thanks for being here, Eric.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening. We'll be back here on Friday talking about one of the great traditions of public television, Packed Attic Spaces Antiques Roadshow. And next Tuesday, if you want to hear Darcy Carden, who is on Barry and also is on The Good Place, which we know many of you like, she will be talking to Sam Sanders on his show, It's Been a Minute. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more folks to find the show. We will see you Friday.
Hey, it's Maria Hinojosa, host of NPR's Latino USA, the podcast that takes you inside the Latino conversation. Each week, we'll take you into one story that will fascinate and often surprise you. Listen to Latino USA on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.